Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The poet Robert Frost said, "Good fences make good neighbors." And that may be true. Sometimes. Other times, a fence just isn't enough when dealing with nuisance neighbors. You know, you may have a neighbor who just refuses to pick up trash they've left behind in the gutter, or perhaps their party music is just a little too loud and you weren't invited. Well, there may be many more severe conflicts with your neighbors. So what do you do to keep the peace? Well, joining me to help fix our problems with our neighbors is Julia Irving. She is the director of the D.C. Mayor's Office of Community Relations and Services. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Julia, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me this evening. This is definitely a hot topic.
Absolutely. And let me first say that I love my neighbors. I don't have any problems with my neighbors. We look out for each other. If there, you know, is an issue, and honestly, there really hasn't been one in the 20 years I've lived in my neighborhood. But, you know, we talk to each other. And let me say, I always get invited to the parties, but that is really, you know, but that's not the case for everyone. How would you define a neighborhood nuisance?
Well, that's a really great question, and I would like to reframe that. I don't know that it's necessarily a neighborhood nuisance,
okay. In
as much as it's two individuals that grew up in two different environments, and they're coming together, and they happen to live together, I mean, next door to one another, rather, but they're bringing how they were raised, their morals, their values, and it's almost like a marriage without the two families knowing that they were getting married. And so oftentimes we see that manifest where maybe, for instance, my neighbor has a beautifully manicured lawn. I may not cut my grass as frequently as she does or as frequently as she would like. So that might be a nuisance. Or maybe I'm a night owl, and my other neighbor has to wake up really early in the morning, and so that may cause a conflict in our neighborly interactions.
I see. So, and that really makes a lot of sense, but is there such a thing as a neighborhood nuisance? Perhaps the one neighbor who refuses to cut the grass. Maybe Julia refuses to cut the grass and all the other neighbors are standing out on the sidewalk with pitchforks and torches ready to evict you from the home that you own. Could that be considered a neighborhood nuisance when everyone else is perhaps doing what it appears they should be doing?
Indeed, we see that quite frequently here in the District of Columbia. We're an amenity-rich city, but we also are a service-rich city as well. And so we do have instances where maybe someone is on vacation for an extended period of time, or maybe a home was left to a loved one, and just the maintenance of that home isn't up to the standard that the remainder of the community has. And so we really encourage our neighbors in situations like that to use our 311 app. You can dial 311 on your phone. You can actually do 311.dc.gov if you'd like to do it online, or you can always call our office and we can walk you through putting in that 311 request. Our city services can begin to address that nuisance in your community.
Can you relate to rude neighbors? Have you ever had an issue? I mean, I've already spoken to you earlier today. I mean, you seem like a really nice person. Who could be rude to you?
Well, I mean, I'm not always invited to the party. I have a neighbor that has a pool, and I wasn't invited to his pool parties. But I also understand why I wasn't invited to the pool parties, because myself and the other neighbors, we were being neighborly to one another, and maybe us going and having a conversation with him about the late night pool parties, the volume of the music that was emitting from the pool parties, coupled with the trash and other debris and the shouting that resulted after the end of a very eventful pool party, so it sounded like, because again, I wasn't invited. So I definitely understand firsthand what it is like to have a neighbor whose values are a little different than yours.
I like the way you put that, so diplomatic, whose values are different than yours. So what did you do in this particular case, if anything? How did you resolve this issue?
I am very fortunate that I have a long-standing pillar of the community that is my immediate neighbor, and so she definitely was able to communicate to our neighbor in a way that he would understand. But our first line of defense was really to just go and have a conversation with him. And I know that that may seem futile, because it's like, oh, they're not going to listen to me. We never know until we try. And so we definitely went and had a conversation with him. He assured us that it wouldn't happen, to just call him if it got out of control. And of course, we followed the guidance that he provided, and the problem persisted, and he continued to dump his pool in the alley. I had a challenging neighbor there. And so, again, we tried to engage him in conversation, and then I decided to share with him that in the District of Columbia, we do have noise ordinance laws, and it would just be really nice if maybe you could meet us halfway. So the noise ordinance laws, they go into effect at 12 midnight, but perhaps you could meet us halfway. You could keep your music going until 1 a.m. And then if you could just drop it down 50% at 2 a.m., and if you could promise to have the party done at 3, then we all can play in the same sandbox. And it took a while, but I think with the strong urging of the pillar of the community, we were able to get our neighbor there without involving the city and him incurring any infractions.
Wow, that is interesting. And that, at least to me, seems reasonable. But before you go the official route, you know, try some neighborhood diplomacy. And because I think sometimes some neighbors may not realize that they are disturbing other, you know, other neighbors, as you said, because their values may be, you know, may be different. They may be a little bit younger, or your neighbors may be a little bit older, or perhaps they are, you know, they like, you know, some ratchet music when, you know, you're more 90s R&B. So I can see how that kind of diplomacy should work. But you mentioned, let's start with the ordinance, and how might something like that be enforced?
So that's where in the District of Columbia, it's tricky. So oftentimes people will say, well, I'm going to call the Metropolitan Police Department because you are violating. And it's really important for our neighbors to understand that, yes, you can call the Metropolitan Police Department to report a noise violation, and the officers, they are going to respond based upon the priority of calls, because mm-hmm. in some parts of our city, there are a little more pressing issues our officers have to respond to.
Absolutely.
And when they come, they will engage the neighbor or the owner of the property and ask them to abate that nuisance, which means to lower the noise. And if the neighbor does it while the officers are there, and then the officers leave, and the neighbor then turns the music back up, you're going to have to call 911 again.
Mm.
Now, if you live in a club zone, that's a little different. Our Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs, which will have a new name come October 1st, but for right now, our Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs, they actually have noise ordinance monitors, and so there's a specific device that is needed to gauge the decibels of the sound that is being emitted from either the speaker or someone's voice, so that it can determine if it's actually a violation. And if in fact it is a violation, they will do the necessary protocols of providing a warning. And then again, if it's not abated, then a notice of violation will be issued.
Could you be fined?
Yes. That would be the notice of violation.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's like kind of like a traffic ticket. I don't know. Do you know what the fine could possibly be?
I would have to defer to our partners at DCRA again, mm-hmm. because that specific unit, they really focus on our nightlife and culture.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but who wants a ticket?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
we can avoid the ticket by simply taking the time to just meet our neighbors when they first move into the community. Say hello. It's okay if they don't say hello back. At some point, they'll speak, and then that's where you can begin that dialogue to begin to share your values and learn their values and find the middle ground.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about dealing with nuisance neighbors. How do you get along when perhaps they just aren't seeing things your way, that you perhaps don't have the same kind of values that they have? How do you nip that in the bud? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let me first go to Adrian. Adrian calling from D.C. Hey, Adrian, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I had a question. I have a neighbor, actually, it's a property owner behind me or beside my yard, and he wanted to do something on his building, and so he went and put up a fence without telling anybody, and it blocked us in. And I need to find out, where would I call to find out what exactly is the D.C. regulation surrounding that? Because it's been over 30 years since he owned the property, and we're having constant issues. Like, he doesn't feel like he has to tell anybody when he wants to come in the yard and do anything.
Julia?
Yes, so actually, I have the honor of serving in the Mayor's Office of Community Relations and Services, and we're the best-kept secret in Washington, D.C. We are your internal advocates to navigate city services, and so your first stop would be to reach out to our office. Our office's phone number is 202-442-8150. Or if you're on any social media platform, it's at DC Mokers, at DC MOCRS. And our team will definitely connect with you and begin to guide you through the process.
And what's the phone number again?
Sure. Our phone number is 202-442-8150.
And I will tell you, Adrian, that mm-hmm. phone number, as well as any other contact information, will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight, as are all of the points of information for the Daily Drum. So in the event that you did not catch that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about nuisance neighbors. How do you deal with that problem? Let's talk to Queen C, calling from Capitol Heights. Hey, Queen C, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
And it's Queen C. So I know Julia Irving because of my political connections in D.C.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about Prince George's County at this current moment. So my daughter, who is an amazing young lady, purchased her first home at the age of 25.
Oh, good for her.
So, thank you. Imagine this. Moves into a beautiful home, and of course she wants to have a housewarming party, and it's a day party, so it's not like it's at night and disturbing anyone while they're trying to rest. So on that very fateful day, the neighbor, who does not have a carport and does not have the luxury of having private parking on her property, my daughter and the neighbor that's on the same side of the street as her, they both have carports. But the neighbors, two neighbors across the street, do not.
Okay.
So there's only street parking. This woman decided she would leave a note on my car asking me not to park in front of her house again for street parking. It did not end there. There is now a peace order keeping her away from me and my daughter because she does not understand the relevance of street parking versus private parking.
Hmm.
Beyond ridiculous.
Wow. Gosh, a peace order. That's pretty heavy. Have you reached out to the county government about this issue outside of, the peace order issue?
No, but it definitely needs to be addressed because it is very uncomfortable. This lady is really crazy to the point of parking her vehicle with her rear bumper touching my front bumper.
Yeah, sounds like some petty stuff there. I do know, and we did invite Prince George's County's counterpart to Julia's office. They weren't able to participate in this conversation. However, Julia was able to share their phone number, their community relations phone number, and I can share that with you also. I'm going to post it on our website as well. It's 301-952-4729. Again, it's 301-952-4729. That's Prince George's County's Community Relations. I hope, I really, really hope, Queen C, that your daughter can, you know, really address this issue. You know, a young person, you know, as a homeowner, I mean, that certainly is a wonderful thing. And for them to have these kinds of difficulties in trying to make, you know, her house a home is unfortunate. But thank you so much for giving us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about nuisance neighbors. How do you deal with that? Do you have to perhaps call your municipality, or is there some kind of diplomacy that you can use to keep the peace? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Donna from Falls Church, we're going to talk to you. Regina from D.C., we're going to talk to you as well. But first, we're going to take a break. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment, including this one, via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking, what do you do to keep the peace with unneighborly neighbors? My guest is Julia Irving. She is the director of the D.C. Mayor's Office of Community Relations and Services. If you have a comment, if you have a question, I'd like to hear what happened with you. Did you get your situation resolved? And even though Ms. Irving represents the District of Columbia, she may have some nuggets that may help you mitigate the problem. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Donna, calling from Falls Church, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, I have a comment. So first of all, Harold, when you were speaking about the neighbors who may not know that they're disturbing the other neighbors with the news, yes, they do. They do.
They know. I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, Donna.
They know what they be doing. And Julia, when you were speaking about the person who was a rather challenging, no, they were a chap. That's who that person was. He was a chap. Okay, next. Because I wish you could have seen my face when I heard this topic. I was like, oh, I got a call. Okay. My situation kind of sort of went like this. Okay, I'll say it like this. You know, they don't have ordinances for nosy neighbors. Mm-hmm. They don't have ordinances for neighbors who, you know, it's almost like an unwritten code in certain neighborhoods or certain areas where you go along. Like, everyone does this, so you go along with it. Now, I happen to be someone who's, you know, rather private. I go about my business. I do speak. But, you know, I have a personal life. I have a lot of things going on in my life. And, you know, that puts me in a place sometimes where I'm focused and I'm not being rude. I'm just focused. And I know the things I have to get done in my life, and that's what I do.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not one to share all of my personal business just to anybody. But this particular area that I live in, it seems like that is the way everyone goes about. You know, you tell your business. You interact in a way where, you know, you're not so much welcome to the neighborhood as it is more, well, who's this person? Where did they come from? Are they married? Not married? You know, that kind of thing.
So I think you're talking about, I think the political term is the nosy neighbor situation.
Yes, exactly.
That's the official. That's the technical term, and, I should say.
And,
yeah,
exactly. And this it turned into, I've never experienced this before ever. I've experienced it with another place where I lived, and it was a woman who was just that. She was
hold on for a minute though, Donna, because you know that it's one thing for a neighbor to be, you know, a nuisance, as you know, Julia and I were talking about, where you're talking about music or fences and or trash or things like that. But let me ask Julia what she thinks, within reason. And this is, and I know there's no ordinance about not minding the business that pays you, but I would say sometimes having a nosy neighbor, Julia, may not be a bad thing.
I definitely agree with you there. I was thinking about our community pillar, that many people will say that she's a nosy neighbor, but that nosy neighbor also lets us know when a suspicious vehicle is on our street. That nosy neighbor is the same one that has a really great rapport with all of our delivery drivers and receives all of our packages. That nosy neighbor is also the one that she may know your grocery habits, and she goes out of her way to get you that special water that you drink, or she may go to the Amish market and pick something up for you. So though it may be slightly inconvenient to share information with that nosy neighbor, that is someone you definitely want in your back pocket from a public safety standpoint. They're the one that's going to watch your house when you're out of town.
And to that point, Julia, as the office, as your title suggests, you know, this is the Office of Community Relations, and, you know, particularly in this day and time, to put it plainly, it's always good to have someone watch your back. And I can have you put your counseling hat on, Julia, and maybe, yeah, you don't have to give them your shoe size, mm-hmm. Or you don't have to invite them in, mm-hmm. but you know, and some people are more private than others. I get that, Donna. I get that. What do you say, Julia?
Indeed, I believe that we just need, the root of a neighborhood is neighbor, and we just need to be neighborly. And neighborly doesn't mean that we have to share all of our intimate details, but just saying hello, sharing with our neighbors that, you know, hey, I really love your flowers there, and you taking control of the conversation so that they don't have that opportunity to get into your information, but yet they still feel welcome. It allows you to keep that gem in your back pocket for when you're going to need it.
Yeah, Donna, I'll just say before I go to the next call, as my mother said, you can be friendly without being friends, but just be careful out there in Falls Church, Donna. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Regina, calling from D.C. Regina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Just thank you for having this topic, because I'm about to go bald.
Oh, let's not do that. don't do that.
I have the neighbors from hell. It's a young lady. She has many kids, many friends, many everything. It's now the party house of the block. So guys that hang out on the block, because we just recently, I live in D.C., we just recently started getting a crowd hanging on the block. So now they have become her friends. There's parties in the yard, my yard, their yard, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 in the morning sometimes. Calling in the police doesn't do anything. They shine lights and keep it moving. The kids jump through my yard. I don't have a fence. Instead of them going through their yard, they hop their fence, come through my yard, and go wherever they have to go. I initially tried to be friends with this woman when she first moved in. and welcomed her to the neighborhood. I knew before she got there, sorry about that, that she was a, she gets some kind of government assistance to live in this home. I know that because that's the, how the home was listed.
But let me stop you there. Let's not stigmatize people who get government assistance.
I'm not.
Because there's some folks who pay full-blown mortgages, and they are just as bad. But please go right ahead.
No, I'm not saying that because we had another family that was in that house that was awesome. Me, okay. My grandbaby and that family are still connected. We exchange gifts, birthdays, holidays, and I'm not saying that. Some of people are not thankful for what they have.
Yeah. Well, let me stop you there because I don't want to get too much down into the weeds. And certainly, Julia, you can tell me if you need to hear more. But obviously, there are several layers of issues. What would you suggest? Because she's already tried to call the police.
Sure. And Chief Conti has this phrase where there are things that are inconvenient, but they're not necessarily illegal. And so this is one of those situations where it's slightly inconvenient because they're coming into your yard, but it's not a full-blown trespass if they're trying to get a ball. And so in a situation like this, one thing that may be beneficial to you is to actually reach out to the owner of the property. If you believe that individual is a renter, that means that he or she has a lease. And in that lease agreement are very clear terms. And oftentimes our property owners that are providing affordable housing options to our neighbors here in the district, they're not aware of what's going on in their community. And this is an opportunity for us to be neighborly and share with that owner what's going on. And you can always do a simple Google search to find the contact information for them, or you can use DCRA's Scout website to find the owner's information. And if all else fails, you can always reach out to MOCRS. Additionally, it's a little difficult to provide guidance, but if it's one of our communities where we have a plethora of resources, whether it's our credible messengers or our violence interrupters out of our deputy mayor for public safety and justice, or if it's in one of our gun violence prevention blocks or one of our homicide reduction blocks, we also have community-based partners that may already have a relationship with those individuals that are congregating on the corner, and they may be able to go and engage them and kind of help share with them what your experience is like, and again, find a middle ground so that everybody can play together in that sandbox.
Hang in there.
I don't know about that. I mean, when I say a full-blown party, crashing cars into the school across the street, I don't care about a ball. I'm not that anal. And I understand that somebody might have to come on to my property for something. But this is, full-blown hand-to-hand drug sales, smoking. You got kids that look like they're minors coming out the house smoking marijuana.
Well, let me say this, Regina, before I move to the next phone call. This does not sound like an inconvenience. And it sounds like you may need to not only, bring in the community, relations department, but maybe have them team up with, the police so that can be, as they say, elevated. Because it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Julia, this sounds like a quality of life issue in, a neighborhood where at least Regina and perhaps some others may have some difficulty with it.
Indeed, this definitely needs a multi-agency collaborative solution. And MOCRS, we stand ready to serve. So we look forward to you reaching out to our office, or you can send us an email at MOCRS@dc.gov, and we will get your respective ward liaison connected to you so we can begin to strategize with our partners towards a resolution.
And I'll make sure I put all of that contact information on our website after 8:30 tonight under the Daily Drum. Hang in there, Regina. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Let me go to Julie. Julie calling from Baltimore. Hey, Julie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, you're welcome. This just hits home for me because if you want to know the true definition of a nuisance neighbor, you need to come to Baltimore.
Well, don't forget, I live in Baltimore, but I'm doing okay. But go right in.
I know you live not far from me.
Okay. Now I'm scared. Go right ahead.
I have a neighbor who every summer when it comes time to cut grass. We're in court because it's an issue over the property line. So she'll come outside, she'll stand there and watch me, or she'll send her child out to watch me. And of course, words get exchanged and police are called and the whole nine yards. But what is the icing on the cake is last summer, my camera caught her spraying some chemicals on my plants and my trees around my porch. Killed every last one of them.
Mm.
So I called the police, filed a report, took her to court. She was forced to pay restitution, plus she was placed on parole. And now that she has paid her restitution and she's off parole, she's back to her same old ways again. And I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the point where I'm moving. So that's where I am.
Wow.
You were to mention this person's name in the community association meeting or even in the neighborhood that I live in. I live in the Lauraville area.
Right.
But if you were to mention this woman's name, everybody knows who she is and they know that she's crazy.
Yeah.
And they know me. Oh, you're the lady with the dead trees. Yes, I am.
Gee.
So that's what I'm dealing with.
And I'm really sorry to hear that, as well, because it sounds to me, Julia, as if, some people, as Julie suggested, it doesn't matter how far you take it. Sometimes there just doesn't seem to be, any resolution, and I know no one wants to hear that.
Even the judge in the court, they know me.
Yeah.
They know me at the courthouse. That's how bad it has been.
Yeah. Good luck, and I hope that wherever you move, that it's a much more neighborly place. Just hang in there, Julie. Thank you so much for calling. Before I go back to the phone lines, Julia, talk to me a little bit about, some of the most common complaints that have been resolved in these neighborhood relations issues.
Sure. I would say that we received the most advocacy from our neighbors during COVID. COVID was a time when a lot of us were hunkering down inside, and after a bit of time, people wanted to get out. Mm-hmm. But we still had some regulations in place because Mayor Bowser wanted to ensure the safety and the health of all 700,000+ residents of the District of Columbia. And we saw an uptick in what we would call pop-up parties, where individuals would just block off their communities. They would have either music blaring from vehicles, or they would have bands coming in performing. Sometimes they would perform on city assets. Sometimes they would do it on city streets. And that's where we began our best practices for our nightlife task force. It was actually born out of our pop-up party patrol, and that entailed the Department of Transportation, the Department of Public Works, the Office of Neighborhood Safety Engagement, the Mayor's Office for Returning Citizens, CSOSA, which is our adult parole and probation, MPD, DCRA, any of the core agencies, the Department of Parks and Recreation as well. And essentially what we did, the roving leaders, the violence interrupters, the credible messengers, they were going into those communities and they began to educate the young men and young ladies on, hey, this is the reason why we have restrictions in place. We understand that you all want to get out and express yourselves. This is a way that we can do it and maintain safety. So while we were doing the education, we also were putting in the necessary safeguards to ensure that if the celebration were to expand into the broader community, that we would be able to contain it while still maintaining a positive pro-social interaction and minimizing the need for law enforcement to be at the forefront. But we found that through just educating the neighbors on the proper protocol to have these celebrations really allowed people to continue to celebrate in a safe way while also minimizing the spread of COVID during that time. And since that time, again, that's been born into our nightlife task force, where we have individuals going out and, again, just teaching people how to safely enjoy their communities, because everybody has a right to celebrate at home or in their backyard. We just want to make sure that you're mindful of the regulations in the District of Columbia.
Yeah, that sounds smart. And I'm sure that, you know, those practices would help kind of lessen, you know, the conflict. Let us hope that that is the case. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mary calling from Southeast D.C. Mary, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
My complaint is I have a rental property right next door to a broker real estate broker who has a rental property, and it seems that he doesn't screen his tenants properly in any event. I need the name of the office that Julia mentioned that she's connected with, because I like to put my requests or my complaints in writing. But in the meantime, what I have decided to do, because these particular tenants, they are so rude that they even come into my property.
Mm.
It's a semi-detached joining properties, and they have actually been urinating in my yard.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it has gotten terrible. So what I'm going to do, some of the neighbors, we've gotten together, and we're going to present a petition to the owner and see if he can't rectify this. But it is in a rough neighborhood, okay? But still, you have to respect your neighbors. You really have to. So what is that? What is the name of your office, Julia, that you had mentioned? I have the telephone number down, 202-442-8150. But give me the name of the office that I can write to.
Sure. We are the Mayor's Office of Community Relations and Services. And
if you would like relations to and service, right?
Yes. And if you would like to send us an email, it's an acronym, MOCRS@dc.gov. And our liaisons will get right on that.
Did you get?
We are the 24-hour arm of Mayor Bowser's office. So you can send us that email at 1 a.m. And we're going to answer that email at probably about 2:30 a.m.
Give me that email again. I'm 85 years old, so, you know, have a little patience.
Oh, no worries. Sure. MOCRS@dc.gov.
Excellent.
Yeah, MOCRS is in Sam. You got that, Mary?
Yes, sir. I got it.
Okay,
thank
Mary.
You so
thank
much.
Thank you for listening. And look, Mary, be safe.
I'm trying.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All righty. All right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Arnetta calling from DC. Arnetta, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Arnetta, are you there? I think we may have lost her. Arnetta, give us a call back, because certainly I'm sure that Julia may have something to share with you. So, gosh, this is really a lot to consider, Julia. One of the things that I'm curious about, I know that out in, the counties in Maryland and Virginia, you have homeowners associations. Do we have those in the District of Columbia?
They are few and far between, but we do have a couple of homeowners associations. But by and large, in our multifamily areas, we have either tenant and or resident council associations that our team actually works closely with.
Mm-hmm. Horse of a different color, rose by any other name. How much power do those associations in the district have to perform corrective action before you hear from them?
Well, oftentimes I think it's a matter of access, and it's also a matter of awareness. And so for those that are politically astute, you will find that when they advocate for things, they find that a response comes sooner, whereas those that may not be as familiar with the government and knowing which entities to reach out to, sometimes those resolutions take a little longer. And so one thing that I would really encourage any resident council, tenant association, and or a civic association in the District of Columbia, we have what's called advisory neighborhood commissioners, or ANCs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really critical that you reach out to your ANCs. Your ANCs are elected officials. Now, they're volunteers, but they are elected officials that represent approximately 2,000 people, and their voice carries great weight. And that's another mechanism built into the district government to serve as an advocate for you, whether it's getting speed bumps because you feel as though your neighborhood's experiencing a lot of violence because people are driving by and so you want speed traffic calming measures. Your ANCs and MOCRs, we can advocate for that. But your ANCs, they host monthly meetings, and during those monthly meetings, they talk about things specific to your community. But more importantly, they have representation from the city council, they have representation from the mayor's office, and they have representation from various district agencies, which really allows you in that two-hour period to begin to get resolution to some of your challenges.
I really want to go back to, the community relations piece, because we could sit here and talk about laws and ordinances and all of that, but I'm really struck again by the community relations part of the title of your office. What kind of suggestions, and I'm asking you to put on your counseling hat again, just to make things better. And obviously, we have situations like, Mary, where people are just downright, rude and mean, uncultured, whatever you want to call it. But I think sometimes, if you, a little honey can work. What do you say?
I definitely believe in the philosophy that we are a neighborhood. Let's be neighborly. Let's come out as a community. And another word that's right there in community is unity. Let's just start speaking to one another. D.C., I like to say it's a citified country because we have all the amenities of a big city. But the root of D.C., we really are Southern people. We have Southern hospitality. And oftentimes when individuals are moving into communities, you may not be familiar with someone, and so your first line of defense is to just keep to yourself. But when I moved to my neighborhood, I created a postcard, and it literally had my picture, my son's picture on it, let my neighbors know a little bit, because I am also very private, and I left it in everybody's door so that they would know who this new person is that's moved into the community. Some people, you may want to come with an apple pie. I am culinarily challenged. That's the postcard. But I also believe one thing that we should really get back to in D.C. are block parties. I'm a D.C. native, and when I grew up, every summer in my community, you could go to a different block, and they were having a block party. And it allowed the individuals on that block to get to know one another, but also the people that were two blocks up or three blocks down. And so because we all knew that the third weekend in July, we were all going to have this block party, it kind of got those jitters out, but it allowed people to get to know one another. But I also think that it's really important that as a community, we attend community meetings. Community meetings really are the catalyst to just transforming your community, because it provides you access to information. It allows you to meet individuals, but it also helps you realize I'm not alone. And so now we can begin to strategize how we're going to address this. We really need to start just relating to one another.
Real quick, Angela calling from Maryland. You've got about 30 seconds. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes,
I wanted
go
to
ahead.
Talk about gentrifiers.
There's that. Real quick.
Are dealing with that. And I'm talking about in terms of like people who've been in the neighborhood, but then gentrifiers move into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of like different way of, like you said, communicating in terms of like parking and who does what where and that kind of thing. And folks moving in and just being very rude and unfriendly. I mean, from the jump, they come in, they don't speak. And the whole deal. And, if your guest could speak to how to just deal with new people who just have no respect for people who've been there, lived there, and set roots in the neighborhood, but think, you know, we want you out. Hopefully you die out anyway, and we don't have to deal with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Julia, that's actually what I was going to ask next when Angela called. Gentrification is a serious issue in the district, and I'm sure you're getting complaints as neighborhoods change. What do you suggest?
Sure. Well, we love change in the District of Columbia. We still have our core values, and we welcome new values as well. And I think in situations where you have new neighbors coming into the community, again, you do want to engage them. And they may not speak just because they may come from an environment where they're not accustomed to speaking to persons. But I believe that if we're consistent in speaking with them, we'll begin to see change. But then also, as a community, you can help your new neighbors understand what the norms are in the community. Over the summertime, we had one community that has a lot of new neighbors, and there was a lot of conflict between them. And yes, a block party is what brought those community members together to begin to meet one another, understand one another's perspectives, and yes, find a middle ground. Is it perfect? No, but they're a lot further along in the process than they were about a year ago when it was very contentious.
Yeah. Angela, thank you for bringing up that really important point, and I hope that things get better in your community as well. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I want to just say, Julia, it's been, you know, a pleasure, you know, having you on the program and just giving us, you know, something to think about. Perhaps, you know, right over the door of your office, you should just put, "Can't we all just get along?"
I may do that.
Yeah, there you go. Julia Irving, I appreciate you so very, very much. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You did the same.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, September 9th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.